The Hawke's Bay District Council leaders, councillors, have all come out swinging against this Three Waters proposal. So I get, you know, we have spoken about this before. I just wanted to get an update just on how the Gisborne District Council, how you're faring at the moment in terms of the Three Waters, and what kind of a relationship or what kind of a cordial discussion have you had, if any at all, with iwi leaders about Three Waters?
Oh, kia ora and ngā mihi, and thank you for the opportunity to again kōrero to this kaupapa, which is huge for all councils to consider. You know, I was able to attend the local government conference down in Blenheim and hear actually from our Prime Minister, who, you know, spoke to this proposal and this change respectively to Three Waters and the management of it in a very positive, obviously, sales pitch almost way that made it seem like it's actually, you know, a really good, you know, proposal. It covers off a number of issues and challenges councils face. But however, you know, of course, the opposition shared their concerns at the conference, and many councils on that day were able to see the allocation of funding that they would get to help enable this analysis proposal space we're all in. So Tairawhiti was given $28 million. We're still uncertain as to how the government kind of came up with the numbers as far as financing this proposal. For councils. We've got an 8-week period on which to deliberate, discuss, you know, and really unpack the analysis as to why this is on our governance tables now. My frustration initially was we're getting over the hurdle of leadership, you know, at governance councils boards with Māori wards, you know, the dialogue that went on in our nation across all spheres, concerns raised, and a lot of, you know, interesting dialogue from those concerned about Māori having a seat at the table in a ward space. So I was just thinking, we've just made it to the table, and now one of the key resources that we undertake to look after is looking to be taken away. So it just seems frustrating that we're just trying to get better in this shared vision of our nation as Māori and non-Māori. And then we have a huge resource. Three Waters is one of the biggest infrastructures of all councils. So then to have a regional approach to this without consideration to iwi boundaries, with all due respect to iwi's iwi, you know, feeling. And for years, iwi have been asking for better regulatory and you know, kia kaitiakitanga of awa, of moana, of wai. And so, you know, and then the government also set up this new taumata arawai, a crown entity to regulate and be better regulatory in the role of water, ensuring we're all drinking good, healthy, clean water. That's our human right. And as a nation of New Zealand, we shouldn't have people dying from drinking water. That's the utmost importance in this space. So where we're as a council, of course, is our own individual concerns have been raised to our mayor, with all due respect to ratepayers who've been paying for this infrastructure, Maira Anō, to then have it be gifted into a regional space. The boundaries that were created, we're all, our region is right down the coastline into Blenheim, to the top of the North South Island. So where did that come from? And again, where was the discussion with iwi at the beginning of the conversation, not in the midst of it all? So I think I know that there's still a lot more courageous conversations to be had. And we are, like all unitary authorities and councils throughout New Zealand, still trying to figure out the benefits, of course, the reason, and unpack this whole new proposal that the government has set before us in a reform. So, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. Still, we're reading a lot of data, having conversations with key people. But from Tairawhiti for now, we certainly don't want to be saying anything in respect to decision-making until we consult with our community, which is of the utmost importance in all things council, but certainly with this infrastructure.
How long is that going to take you? We've already seen the Far North and Whangarei, they've bailed out. Auckland have announced, well, the mayor has announced his disagreement to the proposal, disagreement of the proposal. So how long will it take you to consult with your people and with iwi as well? How long are you going to give yourselves?
Well, I think that we've got 8 weeks. That's the time frame in which this government has allocated for councils to do this work, which again...
There's not much left of that 8 weeks, though.
No, there isn't. And also, we've just come out of long-term plan, you know, submissions and engagement. And so, you know, staff have been working tirelessly. And it seems like, again, the government forgets that council cycles, you know, in regard to LTPs and annual plans and all these things and amongst reforms that are quite significant. Māori ward debate, representative review, all of those factors. So you're right, 8 weeks is nothing. It's really nothing in a timeline of council to deliberate, to robust, you know, to get all the information, then to go out to our community who are concerned. We're already receiving emails absolutely asking that we ensure our constituents, our ratepayers are in the mix now. And again, that takes time to deliberate how to engage, where to go to the engagement spaces, and how to ensure we hear from everybody that has concerns, wants to be a part of this. So the 8 weeks, you're right, it's nothing in this timeline. It concerns us, but of course we will get to the progressing of this to the best of our abilities. But I think this government needs to understand this is a year-long, if not a five-year-long, 10-year-long discussion that we've been asked to deal with in a very short time frame. It's not easy.
Can I just go back to a point that you made earlier? It was around money, $28 million. Can you just clarify for us what that $28 million was for?
So the government listed all councils throughout the nation that would be allocated set funds. So our council was given $28
million. Is this for your infrastructure?
Well, the thing is, it's about what we can use it for is wholeheartedly to do with water, of course. It's not to be used for any other infrastructure. But certainly it's about what we determine will be the best use of that fund with regard to our water. And in our region, of course, currently you still don't pay, you know, unless you're an industry, water rates, like our residents don't pay for water as other councils have in their play. So again, we'll be looking at water metering. You know, our infrastructure need here right now is to get the wastewater treatment plant completed as a project in our region so that we stop seeing flushing of human waste out into the to the ocean. That's been on the, you know, that's been talked about for decades. And then of course, you know, just basic pipe renewal. We've got some really old pipes in our region, as many other councils probably have too, made from clay, you know, like, you know, infrastructure that is just dated and ancient. So it's really about the course of, you know, this money, this funding that we've been given, how will we decide what we would put it to that will be of help for us, because obviously it's, we gratefully receive it. However, if that's the, not bribe, I don't want to say the word bribe, but if that's the catalyst to getting us on board with this water reform, I think that's where there's frustration, because of course government could allocate funding for infrastructure, should have done this over many years, but to be given a lump sum for a reform project, it seems a little bit, in some of our view, concerning. It's not generally a way that a council in a central government partnership relationship has been in this space. So we're all a little bit concerned as to, you know, if we say no, what does that mean, respect to funding, because we all need it. However, it's an interesting proposal right now for all of us to dissect it and get into it and to understand it. So from a rural, you know, kind of perspective, that rural families use their own money to get their own wastewater treatment, you know, their tanks, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, rural communities aren't linked into reticulated spaces, then also fluoridation of water. These are multiple layer. And so for us, that $28 million, hey, we'd love to use it. There's no doubt about that. But if we do use it, what does it mean in the long-term plan?
Well, I guess also too, you use the word bribe, but you see, they're giving you money to fix up your infrastructure or to implement processes to either charge residents for water, for waste, and then they're going to take it over. So either way, they'll give you the money so that they can take it over. You fix it up and then we'll take it over.
Well, that's the bottom line. Either you believe in your provincial councils and, you know, the structure that's been in play of people that have been working hard with the, you know, with the dollars we have through our ratepayer base, as well as the other funding mechanisms. But then to all of a sudden be funding something so significantly and then still saying to us, but you can opt out. So there's this kind of, it's a bit of a weird space for us, because
you can opt out, but
make this mandatory.
If you opt out, you also opt out of the pootier as well too.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You can't have both.
Yeah.